taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
All right. Take two. Welcome, everybody. Taxation is Theft. We have an awesome episode for you tonight. Dwayne Whitmer is joining me. He owns a accounting firm. And he specializes in cutting taxes for people, which is super awesome. And I want to lead with this question, because this is kind of like, well, first let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would you abolish all taxes?
No. I know it sounds terrible. A lot of libertarians are going to hate it. Right now in the country, we have a mass education problem. One of the common responses when you say, you know, I don't like taxation or taxes are too high or whatever you say, you see it online and it's the left and some people on the right, it's their mic drop moment response to this is, well, sorry, I like roads and schools and police and Social Security. And they think they're schooling you or telling you that taxation is great and it's needed. And the problem they have is that's a serious education problem. And here's why. Your income taxes that you pay don't go toward the roads. That's the gas tax you pay. When you purchase gas, you pay a federal 29-cent tax on that. And that's supposed to go to help the roads. Your Social Security, there's a withholding tax for that. That's right on your paycheck. If you look at your paycheck, your employer pays 7%, you pay 7%. And that's Social Security. Schools. That's your school tax that homeowners pay in most, you know, all over the country. Police, that's also town taxes. What's the other one they use? Fire departments, that's again town tax. So there's all these taxes. Sometimes police is state tax as well. None of those are federal income tax. But the politicians and people at B have convinced people that if you don't pay taxes, stop signs are going to cease to exist. And it's going to be a Mad Max society, and it's just going to be chaos reigning supreme everywhere. And although it's factually untrue, I think that the average American doesn't realize exactly what's going on. So I think eventually we could get to where we restructure everything. But at this time, I said no, and the reason mainly is because people aren't going to get it. Because they don't understand how it works. The system is purposely convoluted in such a way that the average person has no idea where their dollars go. And so the average person, right or left, I mean, I have Republicans that, you know, hate taxes, but they say, oh, you know, I hate taxes, but I get why I do this. That's not correct. And so we need a mass education system in this country where people start to understand and just kind of ask the questions of, you know, as an accountant, if you came to me and I own a business, if you gave me money to provide you a service and instead I blew up brown kids in the Middle East, you would question that. And we're not doing that from our elected officials and holding them more accountable. They're taking our tax dollars and spending it frivolously and unwisely. And we're not holding them accountable, either electing them out of office or kind of just demanding answers. So in order to do that, I think you're going to need a mass education because I think the general public is okay with taxes and I get it, but I would like to see, you know, my policy on a federal level is more cutting. Hang on, I got a dog and she wants to be on the podcast too. cutting some of the more unnecessary taxes and regulations first, letting people see, hey, we can live without this. I get this, and you know, one example, Social Security. Is I see a ton of people whose Social Security income is their only income. The government has created a level of dependence, and that is terrifying. You can manipulate a population by threatening their Social Security, and that should be horrifying for people, and people don't care. You know, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars throughout their working life to get, hang on, I'm letting my dog go. These people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a life of over the course of their life to get table scraps when they turn 70, and they somehow think they're getting the better end of this deal. And so I think we need a massive education reform in this country. And that's kind of why I run, to help people understand what's going on. I just don't know if it's going to work out or not, because, you know, it's up to the average person to listen.
Right. All right. So. Well, I was hoping you were just going to say yes, but I'll narrow this down. Cause I'm trying to lead into another question. Would you get rid of the income tax?
Yeah. I think that, abolishing the 16th Amendment's pretty simple, especially like I just said, when you look at, you know, everything that the people that love taxes say is being paid with, it's not going from your income tax. It's going to, essentially bureaucrat salaries. The U.S. government's essentially a jobs program. And the sooner people realize that, the better. And yeah, you could actually push things off onto local or county levels. Now, the federal government would lose power, so everyone in federal government hates to hear that because they want all the power and control. I don't want to control your life. I don't want to be in charge of your life. I'm a 32-year-old accountant. I don't know how you should live your life. And I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. You know, I'm going to live my own life. So I do think that deregulation and kind of pushing more things back to county or local levels would be absolutely necessary. And I think the abolition of the 16th Amendment wouldn't be hard if people started to realize that, you know, all the things they love so much, those roads and firefighters, they're still going to be there because they're already being paid for by a different set of tax.
All right. So then with that said, this is kind of a question that's, is that a self-defeating position? Because obviously if the income tax goes away, you and millions of other people, like an entire industry, like the H&R Block industry, that all they do is taxes. That's going to go away. Is that kind of self-defeating? Is that ironic, or are you not concerned about that because
No, it's there's always going to be things that happen. I mean, you know, we do more than taxes. We do other things, but yeah, I would lose a good chunk of my business, and I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, so what solidified my libertarian views was actually being an accountant. And realizing, you know, the IRS just came out and openly admitted that they audit low-income and middle-class taxpayers more because they can't afford defense accountants, or, you know, they can't afford defense and they just get just shafted. And so it's no longer becoming about your quote-unquote fair share or quote-unquote right or wrong. It's been about revenue generation. And so, the more I get into it, the more stuff I do with these taxes, it makes me realize that I would be okay. I would have to find another profession most likely, but I'd survive. You're going to see a lot of layoffs and a lot of industries, but that's kind of, you can't leave Blockbuster open because it's an inferior product just because the market's shifting. You know, if that was the case, Radio Shack would still be open. Blockbuster, you know, you wouldn't have the Netflixes. You'd be keeping these businesses open just because of, you know, legacy or whatever. And you really shouldn't do that. It's not the government's job to prop up an industry.
Right.
Which, it's funny you mentioned H&R Block. They're actually terrible. I went on my own for a couple reasons, but H&R Block was one of them because they hire seasonal preparers and there's no qualification. And then they lobby Congress to make regulations harder so the average person cannot file their own taxes. So they're essentially part of the government, they're part of the corrupt system that's cheating the system and essentially buying politicians to make the tax code more complicated. I believe them, Intuit, who makes TurboTax, Jackson Hewitt, they're behind a lot of the misinformation campaigns because they don't want you to prepare your own taxes. They want you to be afraid and then pay them to do it and absorb them out of money, and then they'll take it right out of your refund and rip you off. So they're actually profiting off of people's ignorance, and it's a pretty devastating. If you look at where, especially, I don't know where you're from, but up where I live here in around Buffalo, a lot of the H&R Blocks are in low-income areas because they're preying on the low-income, bigger refund to take it out of your refund. So it's a pretty predatory business if you look at it. So, losing that isn't really, to me, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Right. That's really interesting. And I mean, you know, this is the thing too. Like, everybody's always concerned about jobs, and I talk about this as a lot. Just in, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of jobs going away. I mean, wouldn't it be a wonderful world if nobody had to work?
Well, that's absolutely, and that's the thing is that the U.S. government is a pretty, you know, massive Ponzi scheme if we think about it, because they take your money. I use this example all the time, is that, you know, there's a guy that makes $1 million and a guy that makes $0. So the government takes $50,000 from the guy that makes $1 million and gives $20,000 to the guy that makes no dollars. Well, what if we streamline that process? So the guy that makes $1 million hires that guy and pays him $40,000. Well, here's the thing. The guy that makes $1 million is happy because he's only paying 40 instead of 50 and has more labor. The guy that was making zero is making 40 instead of 20. Who loses in that situation? The answer is the government, the middleman. They're essentially a broker of people, and they're profiting off of poverty and war and unfortunately, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you get a traffic ticket. The government's making the government's not profiting because they're losing billions of dollars or, you know, $1 trillion, you know, $100 trillion a quarter. But they're essentially making money off of poverty and homelessness and issues like that, because then that's a reason to raise taxes to fight homelessness. Well, if you would solve our problems, you wouldn't be needed. So there's really no incentive for them to solve the problems. Right. It's just to point the problems out and take your money. So it's a great Ponzi scheme that people need to realize. And then when you say this, people look at you like you're this anti-government. You know, again, you want Mad Max, no street signs, and, you know, five-year-olds doing heroin and working in coal mines. That's not what we want. And if that's how you equate society, I think that says more about you than me. Because if you tomorrow took away all laws and you made murder legal, I still wouldn't kill people because I'm a good person. And so if these people that are afraid, well, if there's no laws, well, that says more that you're willing to do that. And that says more about you than I. And so that's something that these people need to realize, is that.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also that's just trust in humanity, because I think, like, you know, because the fact is, laws are there and they don't prevent people from killing. So like, these people who say that, it's like the same would apply to them. They'd be killing too, and they're not. So I think if the law went away,
laws don't prevent people from killing, but there's no murders, right? That's why the guns. You know, we had the AR ban from the assault rifle ban from 1994 to 2004. There was no gun crime. I thought, right, it's, you're right. There's the laws aren't there to prevent crime at all. And you're 100% correct on that. I think it's, you know, people don't want to admit that. They're like kind of naive and afraid, like you said. You're absolutely right.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I mean, fear is what controls us, and fear is, you know, that's every single political campaign that's out there. That's
you know,
part of the two-party system.
Absolutely.
It's,
I mean, even me, I'm afraid of the government. So let's be honest, is that, you know, I'm a little fearful here too. I mean, they're not great at what they do. I don't know anything the government does well. So except for, I mean, you could say war, but not really even that. And so, every campaign's fear-based.
They've done really well.
Yeah. 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 Blow money, you know, waste time and money.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's and it's interesting too, because I was thinking the other day, like, you know, just the post office. The post office itself is a huge tool in that control system, even though it's just like, yeah, they just deliver letters, big deal. Like, okay, people consider themselves Christians because they go to church once a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people consider themselves, you know, they have great teeth because they see a dentist every 6 months. But are you a great citizen because you see your postman every single day? Like, do you wave to him? Do you get touched by him? Your life gets touched by him, by, you know, oh, you just, it's a pile of junk in a box, but it's yours.
He brings in my bill.
And the government delivered it. Yeah. It's like.
But you're right. No, that's actually a really, I never thought about that. It's a sense of government showing their will in your life. I should say showing their will, but. Every time you go to the post office, if it's a smooth transaction, you're like, oh, thanks, government. You know, and it's kind of eerily. Yeah, you're kind of right, is that they're just there existing kind of in the background. And yeah, I never thought about it that.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like, that's, you know, that's, you look at like any kind of sales and marketing program, and that's always the thing too. Like, you, like, if you have, right, if you run a business and you have a mailing list, you want to make sure you send out your regular emails so that everybody, yeah, like, knows, oh, they still care about me, I'm still on their mailing list. Yeah, you know, that sort of thing. And so, you know, governments really, they've got us every, and then I mean I guess you could take it a step further than that too. You know, I'm sure too, and this is all like association too, right? Like, you know, the word association game. When I say tree, what's the first word that comes to your mind? When somebody's walking out of the house to go to work, they're like, okay, what do I need to get in my car? I need my keys and my driver's license, my little piece of government connection, yep, right? And yep, like, maybe some people are saying, I'm so glad I have these keys because nobody stole my car last night. And I'm so glad I have this license because that's going to make sure there aren't a bunch of crazy people out there crashing into me while I drive.
Right. Which, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's that false security that the government provides. And it's that false patriotism too. You see it where, you know, you get kind of brainwashed where you say the pledge, you sing the Star Spangled Banner and you love America and you're a great citizen. And what's more American than paying taxes, you right, know? And so they kind of feel like it's, you know, if you don't like you hear, if you don't like it, leave. To me, and this is going to be, I shouldn't, that's one of the dumbest things you can say, I'm sorry, is if you don't like it, leave. No. That's imagine if you said that to George Washington, like, hey,
that's
George.
The best answer to that, by the way. No.
What? I live in New York State. I'm dealing with Cuomo and all the crap he's moving. He's moving the goalposts now to eliminate third parties. He's mad because really people don't like him. He keeps winning for some reason. I don't know why. The guy's a crook. But you know, when I complain about Cuomo, people say, "Well, you can always leave." No, I'm gonna fight. You know, and it's like, it just people these days just don't. You know, they're so beat down. And again, I think that's all part of it. I think that's all part of the two-party system, is that at the end of the day, the upper echelon of politicians, they're all the same. You know, even the red and blue team, they're all the same. But they show they let the people think that they're different. It's the divide and conquer, you know. And so, yeah, there's that, like, after 9/11, the Department of Defense kicked the NFL a ton of money to start doing the flyovers and the Star Spangled Banner. And it's that false patriotism where if you start to question your country or you question what's going on, you hate the country and you're a terrorist. I love America. I love this country. I don't love how my government runs it, but I still love it here. I'm glad I'm here. It's given me many opportunities. But who gave me these opportunities? It wasn't the US government. It was other individuals in my community who hired me to do a job. We came together and we worked together, and they give me money and I do stuff for them. And so, you know, then the government gets involved and takes some of that money for existing, I guess. But, you know, the government didn't help me. And, you know, you could say, well, you went to public school. Okay, let's not get too carried away with this. But at the end of the day, you know, I worked hard and I was able to market myself to people and have them hire me to do their work. And then I get paid for it. And then I live and I pay for things. And so, you know, I'm glad to be here. It gave me great opportunities. But I don't think questioning your government or questioning certain things is necessarily bad. I think that's what makes things better. And we forget that, you know, if it's just like in any business. I own a business. I send out a survey to all my clients. What did I do well? What did I not do well? What can I do better? How do you feel about the price, the service, this and that? And you give them, you know, 10, 15 questions. Well, if you get that survey, what's your response? Wow, Dwayne really cares about his people. He really cares about his clients. He's trying to better himself. I'm going to leave good feedback so he can do better next year. He can grow his business. He can provide better services, yada, yada, yada. Yet if you speak out against, and this is why I left the Democratic Party back in 2008. If you speak, I know, I was 20. I was 20.
It's all good. It's all good. I voted for Obama once.
I did too. And I'll explain. I'll defend that in a second. But I left the Democratic Party because I questioned Obamacare. And someone I've been friends with for years, I sit there and I say, I question Obamacare and the fine you have to pay if you don't have insurance. It sounds like tax with extra steps. And they look at me dead in the face and go, I didn't know you were racist. And I went, how am I failed to understand how questioning a tax makes me racist. And she goes, oh, you don't like Obamacare because Obama's black. And I said, holy crap, that's terrible. Like, you're factually incorrect, but you essentially didn't listen to my complaint and you were quick to write it off because I'm questioning your messiah. You thought Obama was going to save you from your terrible life. Number one, that's a terrible idea. Look, I want everyone to vote for me. I am probably not going to save everyone's life. I understand that. I want to give them the resources and the ability to fix their own lives. No one politician, all my friends that love Bernie think that if Bernie wins presidency, you know, they're going to be promoted to CEO and given $1 million a year just because Bernie. That's not how that works, guys. And so there's this false sense of security with the government and, you know, questioning authority and questioning your politicians. That's okay. That makes them grow. That makes them develop into better, either better politicians, or you find out what's how to fix things. This blind support where if you question Trump, if you questioned Obama, you were either racist, or if you question Trump, you're a terrorist or something. I forget what they say. Blows my mind. You can vote for Trump and still not like everything he does. You know, you can support, you can love America and still not have voted for Trump. That's possible. But we've become so team-based, so left-right, so red team blue. And I think at the end of the day, that's what these upper echelon of people want, because they want their voter base to vote red or blue. And if you don't vote red, if you don't vote for the Republican, socialism wins. And if you don't vote for the Democrat, racism wins. I forget what their spiel is, that everyone gets free stuff. And it become very, very, you know, this is the most important election of your lifetime. If you don't vote this, America will die. And it's like, guys,
every 4 years,
maybe our government should die. You know, maybe we do need a reset where the people take back the government and take over. And it's this blind support that we're not allowed. You know, if you question your leadership, if you question your authority, you're viewed as you know, a bad person, and people get mad at you. But again, that's how you make things better. That's how you improve the system, is with constructive criticism. And it's starting to get to the point where it's not happening, and it's concerning.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I mean, you know, going back to your point about the survey, I bring up this example all the time. If you were going to a restaurant,
yep,
and that restaurant had really bad service, they served you a sandwich, yep, and there were roaches crawling out of it, like,
yep,
would you continue to shop there? Would you continue to go get breakfast there every morning?
Yep.
Probably not.
Restaurants are the best example of government. And here's why. When you go to a restaurant, you're going to go get food, right? You got McDonald's and Burger King, and that's the left and the right, because it's overpriced, it's cheap, it's poor service, and you get diarrhea after, just like voting for Republicans or Democrats. And then you have, you know, these small mom and pop stores that really care about you. And those are the third parties that, you know, like, for example, Taco Bell won Mexican Restaurant of the Year, and people don't understand why. Well, it's because there's a Taco Bell in every town, but there's only one in my area. La Divina is, if you guys are ever in Buffalo, La Divina has the best tacos in the area. And if you disagree with me, I will physically fight you. But, there's only one, and there's two in Buffalo. So if 100 people vote for La Divina, well, if 100 people in every town vote for, you know, Taco Bell, then Taco Bell's going to win. And it's just like voting is that, you know, if I go to a restaurant, I have my options. I don't have two options for a restaurant. I have literally hundreds. I have different cuisines from different countries, you know, fast food, restaurants, seafood, tacos, pizza. And then you go to the restaurant, you sit down, and same thing. It's not, okay, Dwayne, here's your menu. You have chicken parm and a hamburger. There's only two options. No, you have 80 options on this menu. And voting should be the same way. We live in America, the land of freedom and the land of choice. We should have more than two choices when it comes to who runs our life and who's in charge. And people say, well, you do. There's the Libertarian Party and the Green Party. Okay, great. Let me ask you this. How come the Democrats can put 25 people on a debate stage for a primary? They put, you know, two 10 people debate stages. And then when it comes time for the presidential, there's only two, red and blue. If you're on the ballot, you should be on the debate stage. It's simple as that. And you tell me you can't run. If the government and these people can't put two more podiums or three more, what is there, green? There's independents, Republican, Democrat, green, and libertarian. So there's five, maybe five people on the ballot. If you can't put three more podiums on that stage, shut her down. Let's start over. I mean, but it's not hard.
We have to remember that that's, I mean, I think that's part of the smoke and mirrors, because a lot of people think that, like, that's the government putting that on, and it's not.
Right.
It's like a private committee, which, like, it just so happens, oh, this is like, yeah, the Democrats and Republicans absolutely hate each other, but for some reason they come together for this, and they just make sure that nobody else is ever included.
Oh, yeah. We saw that in Erie County. We saw that in Erie County with the Board of Elections. Same thing. Red and blue hate each other, but they did a really good job of kicking our candidates off the ballot in Erie County. They came together on that. So, yeah, and same thing with, well, it's just going on with this Trump impeachment. You know, the red and blue teams fighting each other. Well, they just voted to expand the surveillance programs. So, really, at the end of the day, they don't really hate each other. They put that facade on, and it tricks the voters into thinking, you know, team red, team blue, I'm helping. I'm fighting the evilness of the other side. But really, all you're doing is staying divided and letting them keep winning and stay in power.
Right. Yeah, it's they're both more government. Is it more government this way, more government this way? But it's like, you keep going more government, and that's always the direction you're going to keep going.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah,
and so New York, I actually I had the pleasure of talking to the New York Board of Elections today.
Sorry.
So I have to petition to get on the primary ballot.
Yes.
And this is pissing me off with them, but this is something we have to do. We need to collect
signatures.
Yes, like 600, 700 signatures.
Yep.
Now, in drawing up the actual petition paper for this, I have to put my home address on the top of this paper. Now, this paper goes into, like, you know, some government office, and it's buried in a stack of papers for nobody to see.
But
unless someone does a FOIA.
You can FOIL it.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so now my address is public. Now, this really pissed me off when I ran in 2014. I had to put my address in a local election because they wanted to make sure I was in their district. And no disclaimer that we're going to publish this publicly or anything else. You call to ask them and they don't really give you any information. I did it. Next thing you know, my home address is everywhere. And so what's going to happen with this address on this thing, right? And are they going to give me security for this? Are they going to give me 24-hour watch to make sure? Like, I mean, I have received death threats before.
I got one. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all right. It's kind of an honor. But they what's this doing for to have my correct address? And then they're saying they can invalidate it if I don't put the correct address.
And so I'm just glad you're not a Russian spy, because, you know, that's what they're doing, is they're preventing people. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oops, I accidentally wrote Russia as my home residence.
The Kremlin. Weird. I don't know, guys. But that whole thing, it's a stupid process and people don't understand. And that again goes back to, like, the average, you know, person doesn't really think about it or care. Oh, it doesn't affect me. I don't care. You know, a lot of people's response would be, well, don't run for president if you don't like it. And it's like, guys, come on. You know, you got to understand that certain things. And I think that I think that's a good microcosm of the government and people's apathy, because what the government does is it divides, you know, segregates a group of people and then attacks them, whether it's, gun owners, whether it's XYZ, whatever they do. And this is a perfect example of it. There's an issue with this. And I think that, you know, yeah, you're right. It's not the end of the world, but it's still a big issue, because what if you have a crazy pro Bernie person or a crazy pro Trump person, they exist, that gets that address and looks at you as, you know, you're the, for example, people blame Gary Johnson after the election for, you know, Trump's victory. They said Hillary would have won if it wasn't for Gary Johnson. So what if you're our nominee and you quote unquote spoiled the election for someone, and some crazy nut job from either right or left says Dan Berman spoiled the election? Well, they know where you live and no one thinks about this. You know, and then, you know, there's not enough outrage. And I don't have to, I'm trying to think what I have to do. I have to do something similar for petitioning and stuff, but I think we're going to use my office in Franklinville. I don't know if it has to be a home address or can it be an office address?
It says it has this. I called them and asked them this today, specifically has to be residence. And I just think it's insane. And
they're going to have my address.
And they told me, like, oh, well, somebody from one of the bigger parties had an objection about this, too. I can't mention their name. And I'm like, really? Because I don't think the Democrats or Republicans have to petition to get on the ballot.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because they're part of the major parties.
Yeah. They're treated differently than we are because, you know, we're peon third parties.
It's America. Nobody's equal.
Right. If only there was more government. If only the government made a program to make sure that the government treated everyone equally.
That's great. The government board of government equality.
That should be your next program. We're just gonna tax the rich a little bit more and make the government board of government equality. So the government's gonna make sure that the government's doing their job. You know, what's right. The big deal?
Man, that's beautiful.
I hope full disclaimer, I hope no red or blue team candidate sees this and starts this program. If this happens, then you know you're making an impact. But we're kidding. We don't support this program.
Right.
But
yeah, because it would just be a false sense of security anyway. Like we investigated it and we found no wrongdoing.
Well, isn't that half of what, you know, a lot of these government programs are with, you know, these racism laws and these, fair wage laws and stuff. All it is it's a security blanket because people are going to break the law. You know, it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's another example of, you know, I think people are, like you said, they're afraid. They don't want to admit that, unfortunately, you know, the world's not a dangerous place. Statistically speaking, America's very safe. But they kind of want you to, you know, be afraid that without the government, you know, without the government, who's going to take care of you? It's like, well, me, I'm capable.
Right.
Sorry. If I just disappeared, my do not disturb sucks.
Yeah, it's, and that's really interesting too, because I talk a lot about like all these programs and I mean, government really, it creates poverty and it creates this like mentality of we have to work and work and work. Like we have to keep working. Like that's such a slave mentality of, you know, like the slave master's always like, yeah, make sure you're working around the clock 24/7.
Well, but I think that's how they keep in charge, because if you have more time to think and learn,
right,
you're going to question them.
Idle hands.
So if you're working 12-hour days, 7 days a week to barely pay your rent, you're not learning about the government, you know, testing. What are they doing in Alabama? The Tuskegee experiments where they injected African-American prisoners with syphilis. You're not going to learn about, you know, other things the government does. You're not going to question the government because you don't have time. You're working your ass off all day. And then what they're also going to do is if you're doing that, eventually, and you're seeing it with the younger generation, you're going to become bitter and demand that the government does something about it, whether it's reparations, whether it's, you know, socialism and taking more from the rich to give to the poor. And so they kind of, I think, want you to be that. They want you to be upset. They want you to stay beaten down and downtrodden. So then they can say, hey, man, you're pissed off, aren't you? Yeah, I'm working. You know, I got student loan debt out the ass because the government got involved in student loans in the 70s. And ever since then, the cost of college has skyrocketed. And then, all right, yeah, and my medical expenses are expensive ever since the 70s when the government got involved in health insurance. Costs skyrocketed there. Notice a common problem there, but no one cares. And so my health insurance is expensive and, you know, I work working my ass off and I'm paying these taxes. Man, that billionaire over there, he's got some nice things. Don't you hate him? A little bit. We're just going to take a little bit from that billionaire and give you some. Aren't we special? Aren't we wonderful? And you're going to say, yeah, sure, okay. And that's kind of the point, is that, you know, they're forcing them with their will, and they're kind of setting you up to fail, and then acting like it's kind of a Stockholm syndrome type issue here. It's kind of I don't want to say it's gaslighting. I don't know if it's gaslighting, but it's kind of an abusive relationship the government has with us. If you really think about it, you know, every time there's a problem, it's always someone else's fault. And, you know, they're going to fix it this time, and they swear they'll change, and they never do. And it just gets worse and worse. And I think that, you know, we got to fight that with an education reform, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I get that a lot on my campaign. Is this an educational campaign? Or are you trying to win? And it's like, well, we can't win unless we educate. It's kind of like, right. You know,
and that's the impact of my race. Cause we have a couple issues here in New York. In my race, at the end of the day, I want to do a handful of things. even if I don't win, which I'm trying to win, I hope to win. If I don't win, I want to do a couple things. I want to educate the population using my media coverage, the money I raise, to show people that if you're pissed off, there are other options. I want to set a foundation where maybe I don't win, but maybe I move that arrow a little bit. And in 10 years, someone in this district, a libertarian in this district, does win. And they say, well, Dwayne Whitmer set the foundation. He got this movement going. He kicked it off. And I was able to expand on what he did, you know, something like that. And also, it helps the LPNY see where their shortcomings are. For example, my opponents, you know, the Libertarian Party, by no fault of our own, we have like 8 strikes against us. None of us are career politicians. So my opponents, since they're already in politics, whenever they do anything, the media covers it. So they're getting their name in the media just by existing every time they want to. I have to work a little bit harder. There are 185,000 Republicans in my district. If 1% of those Republicans are active in this campaign, that's 1,800 active people. There are 1,500 libertarians in the district. So if 100% of libertarians are active, there's still more Republican people active at 1%. So the ground game, you know, obviously the money issues. My Republican opponent already has over $1 million because he's backed by corporations and the wealthy PACs, and I'm not. So there's that issue. But then there's also the little things that people don't realize. Like, for example, I live in the town of Hamburg. So when the Hamburg Republican Committee meets, they're going to invite one of my opponents to speak. Well, there's no Hamburg Libertarian Committee. So he's getting that press and his name out there just by existing. Whereas me, if I want to speak in Hamburg, my team has to find a venue. We have to find people. We have to invite people to come. We have to hope people show up. We have to pay for it. And it sounds like I'm whining, and I'm not whining, but I'm pointing out a common flaw in the system that, you know, we have to try to improve on. So for example, you know, all these towns have committees. You know, when the Orleans County Democrats meet, they invite their candidate. And so other counties have invited me to speak as well. Don't get me wrong, but we need to support each other and kind of come together, because that's what the red team and blue team are doing. We're no longer in New York State. We're no longer the Libertarian Social Club. We're the Libertarian Party. So it's time we act it. And so at the end of the day, I kind of want to point out ways that we can improve our infrastructure so then we can better compete. Because, yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's damn near impossible for our candidates to win races on a big level because of the odds we face, but they still do it. And I think that should be commended. I think that people need to really respect and understand that, you know, you're doing this, I'm doing this, I'm putting my literal blood, sweat, and tears into this. I'm putting money into this. I'm not making money off of this. I'm losing money, and I'm okay with that. Again, I'm not whining. It's just a fact. You know, I'm getting lambasted by a bunch of angry Republicans who literally stalk me and to see what I'm doing, and then they write fake articles about me. So I'm putting my reputation on the line.
You're getting press? That's awesome.
Well, I'm getting fake press, literal fake news. Yeah, there's some pretty angry people that they don't like me because I'm good at what I do. So they made a fake website and write fake articles about me. And I don't care, because it just shows that it's working. What I'm doing is working. I'm moving that arrow. I'm starting those conversations, and people are mad about it. I'm okay with it. But, you know, we do a lot. We make a lot of sacrifices to grow this movement, you know, and we got to keep doing it. You know, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to go away. So it's a good time, and it's worth it. And I love doing this. But yeah, some of the things I get, you know, well, you don't have any money. You're right. My opponent has $1 million. My opponent's raised $1 million, and I've raised about 25 grand. You're correct. Thank God we're libertarians and we don't believe in buying elections. Well, you have no government experience. You're right. My opponents are politicians, and they've done that for their career, and I'm an accountant. But I personally think, but again, it's not, you can't be a
libertarian. That's gotten you voting for people who know what to do in politics.
But I have libertarians telling me that, which blows my mind, because what you're essentially saying is that in order to be in politics, you have to be in politics, which is essentially validating the existence of the government and the bureaucracy. And I'm like, that makes no sense. You know, and I personally, I believe that, you know, real world experience is better than governmental experience, but what do I know? You know, people talk about, I'm 32, they talk about my age, but again, you know, I opened my practice at 25 when no one does that. You know, no one starts an accounting firm at 25 years old. I did that, because I knew what I was doing and I was good at what I did and I wanted to help people. And it's been okay. You know, I'm trying to just attack, you know, we're fighting here in New York. We're fighting on a bunch of different fronts. The candidate front, you got Carrie Bittner, out there enrolling people. You're doing the events in the streets. You know, you gotta fight on, you know, a bunch of different fronts to really let people see that you're out there. It's about name recognition, just like it's that constant contact marketing that the government does so well. You know, the average voter, and this is what the thing about New York is, the average voter, if I'm the average voter in Hamburg, New York, and I go to vote, I probably don't know if a libertarian won anywhere else in that state. So it's on me, as I live in Hamburg, to explain to them why to vote libertarian. You know, it's on our county chapters. It's on our county leadership to really move those arrows. And we're doing a pretty good job. You know, Larry got us ballot access. He did a great job. But, you know, you saw the odds against him, too. He didn't get the media coverage. He didn't get the money coming in. He did a great job for what he had, but he moved it. He was a great candidate, probably one of the best candidates we have. And I'm biased in my opinion, but, you know, he did a great job. He started a ton of conversations and he worked his ass off. And that's what it takes. Our candidates have to go above and beyond because we're fighting multiple battles. And I'm okay with it. I do it all the time. And I've had no complaints so far. But yeah, a lot of our candidates, they're, you know, you guys are, especially you. I mean, I'm only covering 7 counties in a state. You're covering, you know, the whole country. And it's worth it, you know, and it's a great thing to see because, you know, it means you're willing to do all that extra stuff just to keep the fight going. And I think that deserves, you know, a lot of respect and a lot of thanks.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're welcome. And it's, you know, that's one of the things that we're doing with this. We formed this SWAT team, which is basically partnering with all these other candidates because we want that. We know, like, I've run for the Texas State House. And
yep.
Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have the yep. resources. I didn't know how to fundraise. I had to go yep. make my own website. And in 2016, I worked on McAfee's campaign, and we did the Vote Different, where we were creating websites for a lot of other candidates. And so, like, seeing that, like, I realized a lot of these candidates are, they're great people, but they can't even put a website yes. together. We need to, yeah. we need these oh, yeah. tools and resources.
You are absolutely correct. One thing that we struggle with is, you know, we're not a bunch of, sorry, my dog's back in. We're not a bunch of career politicians. So we don't know what needs to be done because we've never done it before. And that's okay. You know, that's not the end of the world, but, yeah, that there should be more resources. I had no idea how to fundraise. I'm terrible at fundraising because I'm terrible at asking for money. That is one of my shortcomings. I can
yeah,
talk.
You're great at saving people money, right?
Yes. As evidenced by this podcast, I can talk for days. I'm good at that, but I'm not a good fundraiser. And I'm not good at behind the scenes stuff. And so it's tough because, again, kind of like those, what I said earlier, where you're fighting an uphill battle. Red and blue team, if you're not a good fundraiser, they're going to find money for you. Because, again, there's 185,000 Republicans in my district. If 10% of them give, you have 18,000 donors in a district. If 10% of libertarians give, that's only 100 donors. So, you know, we're losing out on that ground game, that momentum, that just the numbers game. We're fighting that numbers game. And so same thing with, you know, the behind the scenes stuff with people getting active. Is that, you know, but I'll tell you what I love to see is that my race is kind of different. I don't know how much you know about NY27. Where do you live? I can just spoil it.
Texas. Well, Mexico, but Texas.
All right, cool. I'll just foil it when I go to the Board of Elections and see where you live. I'll get your address. But so you're in Texas. So in New York here, our congressman was Christopher Collins. He was a Republican. He was indicted for insider trading. He was found guilty, and more or less, to cut this short, he essentially resigned his position and got a slap on the wrist. How awesome is that? So we don't have representation right now. So there's a back and forth. Is there going to be a special election? The Republican state commissioner just, or the Republican state chairman just sued the governor to force an election. It's a Republican heavy district. This is an R11. This is one of the most pro-Republican districts in the country, which is weird because it's in New York. But this is a super R district. So they want their guy, and the Republican's going to be the favorite from day one. So this is a weird race because we don't have a current incumbent congressman. So it's kind of weird there. There might be a special. So it's all over the place. So there's been a lot of media being generated just because of that. They've started to acknowledge me in their articles. I had to send a ton of press releases because what they do is they say, oh, Chris Collins resigned. Who's going to fill this role? And they talk about the Republicans, they talk about the Democrats, and they forget Duane. So whenever I see an article, I send multiple press releases to those stations saying, hey, just so you know, you mentioned 7 candidates. Only 4 have filed with the FEC, and I'm one of them. So maybe you should include all candidates that have been filed with the FEC. And then eventually they learned. But I have gotten quite a bit of press lately. So that's good. But there's a lot already against us. So you got to keep fighting the uphill battle. And I'm all right with it. You know, I have no issues. I have no complaints. But it's just, yeah, that training. I did see, I follow you on Facebook. So I did see the that program. And I love to see it because a lot of our candidates do need that training program. But when there's only a handful, Larry Sharp can't train every single candidate in New York. He doesn't have the time. He can't run his life and train 100 candidates. So what you're doing is great because if they're a serious candidate and they want to win, they're going to do what it takes. And they're going to read these programs. They're going to read these materials. And they're going to learn how to fundraise, you know, how to do your event, how to pick a team, what you need in your team. You know, you need a campaign manager. You need a PR person. You need a press person, You need a fundraiser. You need this. You know, you need that. But I didn't know, even when I started running, I didn't know how much I needed. And I was on Larry Sharp's team. I didn't realize you needed all these different things. And so I think that if you read that and, hey, so you want to be a candidate, this is what you do, would be huge right. for a lot of our candidates.
And sharing resources and costs too, because like you said, here's one issue that I found pretty quick. Not that there's a lot of donors that will give libertarians, you know, $10,000, $20,000, but we have all these laws in place, right? So we want to get the money out of politics so nobody can make a donation more than $2,800 or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But when you're like, just the point you were talking about, when you're talking about Democrats and Republicans who have 100,000 donors, like, doesn't matter. They can donate $10 each, and that's fine. And what's also interesting about that is, like, a lot of people think, like, well, you know, even a local election, you should be able to win. It shouldn't take that much money to win a local election. But it's kind of like, if you're running a local election,
they haven't ran a local election before. If they say that, that's my opinion.
But here's the thing: like an independent or a libertarian, which is practically independent because not a lot of people have heard of a libertarian, versus some guy who's sponsored by Coca-Cola. That's basically what Republican or Democrat is, right? Like they might as well have like a big like Nike across the, like sponsored by Nike. Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. And it's like the whole national organization that's comprised of millions of people, millions of politicians and donors and billions of dollars and everything. Like that's what that is. And they're sponsoring this guy who's running for dog catcher. And it's like, so that must be a better dog catcher than the guy who doesn't have a sponsor. You couldn't even get a sponsor for dog catcher? Come on.
Right. Well, and what blows on is that, again, like people don't realize. So whoever says that has never run for office before. And here's why. It all has to do with education. We, even for a local race, Rob Schneider, you know who you're, how old are you? You're old enough to know Rob Schneider, right? Yeah. It's some really weird movies. He said that on Twitter. He said that a bag of dog crap can run for office in California, and it was, as long as the Democrat, it would win. And he's not. And there's places in the country where a Republican could do the same thing. Don't get me wrong. It's not just a left issue. It's a left and right issue. And so in Hamburg, for example, I'm going to use my town as a perfect example because the Hamburg Republican Committee is struggling. They didn't endorse the incumbent town councilman. And what happened was the Libertarian Party, the Conservative Party, and another party, Independent Party, did. So you had a three-way race. You had the Democrats with the Democrats' two lines. The Republicans had their lines. And then the third party candidates had their lines. well, the Democrats won because the Republicans and the Republican incumbents essentially, quote unquote, split the vote. And people are mad about it. But what I think what that pointed out was a handful of members of this town voted party line and only voted Republican because the candidates are Republican, because the Republicans didn't put up good candidates. They put up two really, really not great candidates. So I think that proves that you have an issue with, you know, the biased party line voting, which is what we're fighting. But the only way to fight that is with money, because that gets you outreach. You know, I share about my need for fundraising all the time. Well, you shouldn't need money to win a race. Great, come knock on 200,000 doors for me, and then I won't need money. You know, it takes money to pay these. We're working on a commercial right now. It takes money to pay someone to do that commercial, and then it takes money to air that commercial on TV. Well, why do you need to do a commercial? Because no one knows who I am, because the Libertarian Party is unknown. So we have to fight that barrier. It's another, you know, like I said earlier, we're fighting all these uphill battles. That's another uphill battle. If you walk up to, I would say, 99% of this country of voting age, and you say, what's a Democrat? They're going to say something. What's a Republican? They're going to say something. What's a Libertarian? You're going to get a million different answers. And some of those answers are going to be, a what? Huh? So that's why it's hard. Even at a local level, you need the money, because it's going to cost money to run that educational campaign.
I would even say this, like, if you ask someone what a Democrat or Republican is, you're still going to get a million different answers. But
But
it goes back to that association. In their head, they have associated, you know, Democrat. Oh, my parents were Democrats, and so I'm carrying on the family legacy. Or you know, oh, Republicans, we're going to go wave the flag. And, you know, what it gives them a good feeling, whatever they think about when they think about that party. And what the Libertarian Party has done or has not done, and hopefully nobody gets pissed off that I say this, is they need to really just focus on advertising the brand and not trying to advertise, you know, like Gary Johnson's thing was too complicated. Like, I'm gonna explain to you what a libertarian is, which didn't even make any sense. Just advertise the brand and make that the thing. Like, that's what Coca-Cola does. That's what Nike does.
Yep.
Like, it's super simple, and they spend a shit ton of money on that, and it works. And then when our candidates run, people are willing to pay attention because, oh, a libertarian, I've heard of that.
I've heard that before. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing, and that's where it comes with local, is that, again, like I said, in New York State, we're no longer the Libertarian Social Club. We can't be five boomers in a bar drinking beer talking philosophy. We have to be out there. We have to be fighting. And if you can't do it, it's okay to step down and find someone who can. I'm now the chairman of Erie County Libertarian Party. And that's because our previous chair was just, he was overburdened. And he said, you know, I can't devote as much time as I need to. I can, because I'm running for office, so I can get media coverage by doing both things. And, you know, I work with other local groups to do joint press releases and joint fundraisers and joint press events. But I'm telling you got to be in these people's face. So City of Buffalo right now, the City of Buffalo, the biggest, second biggest city in the state of New York, City Hall was raided by the FBI for a corruption investigation. Well, Buffalo, like New York City, like the state of New York, is a one-party ruled city. It's ruled by Democrats. The Republicans have given up. In Erie County, where I live, the Republicans essentially, they've ceded Buffalo to the Democrats, and they dominate in the suburbs. Okay, great. So you have a one-party rule in the city. That's my target. I'm going to go into Buffalo and do press events and say, this is what one-party rule gets you. The Libertarian Party will fight for you. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say what a libertarian is. I'm not going to talk philosophy and policy. I'm going to say, if you're pissed off at this, join us in this fight. Help us fight for you. And guess what? 80% of the people are going to tell me I'm an idiot because they're stuck to their one party rule. But 20% might say, you know what? This kid's right. Like Donald Trump said, what do you have to lose? You know, and it's true. What do you have to lose? You've had one party rule, and it's gotten greed, fraud, corruption, what do you have to lose voting for someone else? Sending the message that you're pissed off at how things are being run. Don't stop voting. That's what they want. They want their, you know, these, the Democrats, Republicans, they want the average voter to stop voting. They'll fire up their base and they'll win their races, you know, and they'll seed the races that they're not going to win. And then every 8 years, they'll rotate red and blue presidents, as evidenced by the last couple presidents. And they're okay with that because they just bide their time and they get their power back. They bide their time, they get their power back. But if the not look at 2016, 100 million people didn't vote. What was it? 63 million voted for Trump, 63 million voted for Hillary, and then 100 million people didn't vote. If those 100 million of people said, we're so pissed off, we're going to vote third party, you'd be looking at President Gary Johnson right now, or President Jill Stein, which would be, you know, whatever. But, you could be looking at, hell, they all could have wrote in Harambee, and we could have, you know, President Harambee. And but, you know, I'm serious, is that they gave up, you know, the system let them down, and now what they're doing is giving the system what it wants. They don't want you to vote. If one person votes, it's still a valid election. So right. They want their extreme left and right, they want their supporters, their fan base to vote, and no one else to vote.
Right.
So
yeah, I tell that a lot to the anarchists who say it's immoral to vote. And it's like, Okay, where has that gotten you so far? Because like you said, if there's one vote cast, it's a valid election.
Yep.
And you're still going to have a ruler.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I hope there's only one vote in my race because I'm voting for myself. So I'll win. But yeah, and that's the thing is that, voting, and I get the logic behind it. I truly do, is that, you know, I'm so libertarian that I can't vote because it's still like choosing your leader. And if you didn't concede to that leader, then I'm forcing my will on you. I get it. But that's a terrible hill to die on. I'm sorry. I really am. But we're not going to win that battle.
Right.
And so, you know, absolutely, we might as well win the ones we can. So,
all right. Well, I want to wrap this up, but I want to hear, if you have anything you want to plug, we've got your website on the screen, DwayneWhitmer.com. Facebook, Twitter, what else? Yeah.
I have a Facebook, Dwayne Whitmer for Congress. I have a Twitter. It hasn't been that active because I don't know how to Twitter. I'm 32 and a boomer, so I'm sorry, guys. I'm not used to dealing with Twitter and Instagram.
You can't be a boomer. I'm older than you.
Well, I'm a boomer. Hey, 2019, I can identify as a boomer. I think it's Whitmer for 27, Dwayne for NY 27. I got to find the Twitter and Instagram. I have it. It's a picture of me. It's great. But yeah, we have Twitter, Instagram. We have the Facebook, Dwayne Whitmer for Congress, the website, DwayneWhitmer.com. Send us a like and you can follow the page and see what I'm up to and watch me fight the system and fight the power, I guess.
Awesome. So, and what do you need? What do you need most right now? Volunteers, money, anything?
Send me all the money. Awesome. Right now. Yeah. Money. Right now, what the campaign's doing is, we're doing a commercial and it's actually a really, really, one of my friends wrote it. It's a pretty moving commercial, kind of calls out the system and, kind of says, you know, it pitches me as the protest vote, because I think that if you play that off as, if you're mad at red and blue, vote for me and show them how mad you are, I think we'll get a ton of votes just doing that. And then, you know, then it's got, I'll talk about policy when I'm needed and stuff like that. But just getting the name out there is huge. So we got a match going on. We're almost there. I had $1,000 matching donation come in. Wow. But I think we're at like $780 of it. And there's like still 6 weeks to go, which still send me all the money. But that's that. And then we're doing the commercial. And once the commercial gets paid for, I'll air it on Facebook and people can see it. And then once we raise money from it, we're going to put it on stations and just start getting my name out there to, you know, all these voters. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Awesome. Well, Dwayne, thanks for coming on the show. This has been an awesome talk. Yeah. We'll definitely be talking together more about working together on these elections, on these races.
Yes, because, we have, as the chairman of Erie County, I think I have the second most libertarians in the state in my county, just under 1,000. Right. So we're going to get some petitions. I think that we're not sure what we're doing petition-wise as far as are we going to do one candidate or a couple, just so there's the choices,
right?
Just to fire up the libertarians. We're not sure yet. We're going to coordinate. I know you've got some people coordinating just to see, because we want to make sure that there's a couple options just so there's a reason to do it. But yeah, we'll be in touch because, like I said, there's 1,000 in my county. So we'll organize that and make sure you're on the ballot. Make sure, you know, whoever puts the effort in that wants to, you know, does the work will be on the ballot. So then they get, you know, they get their choices. So
awesome. All right.
Thanks, man. Well,
have a good night. We'll see you guys next time.
You too.
Taxation.
I appreciate you. Hey, keep going. Keep kicking ass, Dan. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks, buddy.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
Roads.
You boys like Mexico!